Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Can you hear me at the back? All right. I'd like to begin by dispelling what Michael had just said. I know you may have expectations, but the one expectation that I like to preempt is the expectation that out of this presentation, you will be better at building and running your personal brands. So I'm sorry. The reason why I'm sorry is because it's a process that takes a while. Myself, I think there's another rumor in town that I'm an expert in marketing. No, I'm not. I'm actually a student of marketing. Because marketing is so broad that each time I take a turn, I discover new perspectives. Each time I thought I knew, I discovered I didn't know. Each time I felt confident, I faced a shaky moment. Unfortunately, most of us have come to believe that if you are well-spoken, then you can do marketing. It's a lot more than that. So without further ado, I'd like to take you through the presentation, building your personal brand. And as I said, let me tone down your expectations a little bit. And I only hope to share with you perspectives that will get you more interested in learning a bit more about this subject. And so here we go. Now, let me start with the story of Africa, because I don't think you can build a brand in this part of the world without understanding the context. For a while, Africa has been the negative, the, place of no hope. But things seem to be changing. I picked an article, I don't know if you saw the Newsweek this week, and the main writer was Africa is the next India. Africa, between 2007 and 2008, grew almost at par with India and China. Unfortunately, there was a backlash in 2009. It's expected that there'll be a rebound in 2010. Now, with this rebound of Africa, where African economies, including Uganda, are growing at 6.3% when the rest of the world is in recession, what does this mean for you and me? With this new twist in fortunes for Africa, where we see a number of countries discovering oil, as it is the case in Uganda, what does it mean for you and me? With this new twist of events, where despite the fact that we in Africa have an economy that's predominantly rural, we have an economy that's on average only 20% urban, yet we are able to grow at 6.3%. What does this mean for us? In a nutshell, I was discussing yesterday with some friends of mine that we are predominantly agriculture, though service is growing in Uganda, for example. Now, agriculture does not grow much. So ask yourself, if we are predominantly agricultural, if we are predominantly rural, the growth is coming from the urban areas. In Uganda, the urban population is 17% of the total population. By what magnitude does this 17% have to grow for us to get an average, a national average of 6.3%? It means that Kampala is probably growing at 20, 30, 40%. What does that mean for you and me as a brand in this market? What does it mean for you and me as a market for you, as a company, and as an individual? So I say, this century belongs to Africa. Next. I see prosperity. Before, you didn't see a lot of those gadgets around, but now you can see everywhere you go, people have mobile phones. That was the story around the world last year. You know, but in Uganda we are saying, what recession? Next. What recession if we are growing at 6.3% GDP? This means that things are not as bad as sometimes we would like presented as. It means that there are opportunities. Now, how will you capitalize on these opportunities? Now, may I pause there? Despite the fact that there are opportunities, the standards are also very high. We are going by global standards. Ugandans in Kampala, Jinja, Entebbe are very aspirational, more aspirational compared with their older brothers who grew in the same cities in the 80s, 70s. You do recall that in the 70s and 80s, those of you who are there, for you to hear about a new hit in the US, somebody had to travel there and then come back and tell you. But now, if there's a new hit in the US or wherever else, somebody in Barara, somebody in Kapchorwa could probably get to know it before we know it in Kampala. So the dynamics are huge. Next. The good old days are gone. In the old days, those of you who were working in the 60s, in the civil service and various companies, there was neither downsizing nor right-sizing. But now, there is rationalization, a new name for it. Now, who do you blame for this? Who do you blame for the threat you face every day of losing your job? I say it's all up to us. It's all up to you, it's all up to me to deal with it. It's all up to us to thrive at the threat of, you know, various adversities that face us. But who are you? Who am I as a brand? Who do you want to become? I bet most of us, including myself, rarely ask that question. But the few who do are on their way to becoming a very strong brand. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Now, I'd like to start by asking you, what's in that glass? Can anybody tell me what's in that glass? I hear somebody say water down there. Any other volunteer? Sorry, I can't hear you. Sorry? Some fluid? Anyone else? What's in that glass? Can you see the glass? Can you see the glass? Can we all see the glass? One more volunteer?
Some content.
Liquid,
okay.
Air.
I think most of us are now being extremely intelligent. But ordinarily, when you ask people what's in that glass, they'll say water. And why do they say water? They say water because that's how the human mind works. The human mind does not just take things and file them. When you see clear liquid in a glass, you label it and say water. Then you file it in your mind. Each time you see that liquid again, say water. If you don't feel like having water, you don't touch it. Now, that's fairly neutral. Now, assume it was negative. Assume what content we see in the glass is being perceived as poison and not water. Now, each time we look at it, we say, that's poison. Why? Because we labeled it and we filed it. Now, this is what happens if you do not define your brand. It's labeled and filed by the people you are targeting, your target customers. And if they define it and if they file it and label differently, unfortunately, that's how they relate with you for the entire period of time that you're in contact. Next. So, as I said, continue. The brand does not just file, it labels. Well, that's why we need to build brands. That's why we need to ship the labeling so that whatever label there is in my mind about you is one that's favorable. Shall we? Now, what's the job of brand building? Now, if you are going to build your brand, where do you start? The main focus of brand building starts, can be told through this story. Assume that the bottle of water you're drinking this evening, the bottle of Tasca you're drinking this evening, the whatever you're taking this evening, is coming from the factory. It costs money to produce it. Now, that money needs to be paid for by the customer. When it's packaged, packaging costs money. When it's before it goes to the retailer, the producer has to get his profit. It lands at the retailer's premises, the retailer has to incur certain costs and earn profits. It's at that time, sold down, David. It's at that time that we determine the minimum price we can charge for that product. Now, assume the customer does not think that you're charging 1,000. The customer does not think that this, liquid is worth 1,000. He thinks it's worth 800. Do you have a business? You don't, because they won't be willing to pay 1,000. Now, if the customer on the other hand thinks that this liquid is worth 1,500 and you're charging 1,000, you're in business. So the job of brand building is to constantly push that perception of the value of the product so that each time we go out to sell, our price is slightly below what the customer thinks he should be paying for it. So our job is to push the perceived value of the brand. Your job in terms of building your personal brand is to push the perceived value of you as a brand. And I see this happening a lot of the time, especially during interviews. Has it occurred to you that most of the colleagues that joined you recently rarely dress the same way they dressed when they came for the interview? When they came for the interview, they were pushing the perceived value and, trying to do so that to negotiate a good pay package. And they did it successfully. So until the next interview, they relax a bit on that. But point is, we should never relax on that. It's a full-time job. Shall we? We measure brand value through an element called equity, brand equity. Loosely defined, basically, equity is the value, positive, but sometimes negative, or that a brand adds to your product. So if I have a mobile phone called Nokia, imagine, for some reason, before I bought it, somebody erased the word Nokia. Will I be willing to pay the same price? Chances not. I'll be thinking this is probably a very cheap phone from China. Now, if the word Nokia is added to it, suddenly I'm willing to pay a higher price. That means that the Nokia as a brand has strong equity. Now, for a brand to have strong equity, it needs to be able to command a premium price. It needs to evoke long-term loyalty. And a product in case is Colgate. Most people call toothpaste in Uganda Colgate, whether it's Aquafresh, Close Up. Why? Because Colgate has equity. The next example is Safaricom. A brand with a strong equity must command significant market share. Safaricom as a brand, and I think the same can be said of MTN as well, has greater market share than all their competitors combined. That's a brand that has equity. But what drives equity? Five things. Five things that I'd like you to remember if you forget everything I say tonight. Number one is value. What am I getting? What problem are you solving for me as a customer? Does your product solve a problem? And when I consume the product, do I feel like, I'm better off? Number two, sorry guys, can you see this? All right. Number two is emotions. Emotional connection is pretty much like the relationship between children and their mothers, and as compared to the relationship between children and their fathers. The dad pays school fees. He pays rent, probably. By and large, contributes a larger share of the house budget. But then the emotional connection tends to be stronger with the mom. And so in this perspective, the dad is kind of sitting here, providing value. But the mom is sitting here, providing care. So we find a stronger bond between mother and children. Why? Because the dad pays these school fees, but it doesn't look like he really cares much. Okay? Next, we have accessibility. I may love your brand, but if I cannot access it in the market, I'm not going to buy it. You can't charge a premium if I cannot access it. Above all, awareness is critical. You could be the greatest, you could be the greatest accountant in Kampala, could be the greatest lawyer in Kampala, but are we aware about it? Maybe you went to Harvard, maybe you went to, you know, Oxford or whichever university. But do we know you are the greatest lawyer? If we don't, we are not likely to pay, you know, legal fees beyond a certain magnitude. Finally, differentiation is important. You've had this question quite a bit, you know, during interviews. So tell us, why should we hire you? Have you had that question? Tell us, why should we hire you? What's different about you? Now, that there is differentiation. If you came with a university degree, what else do you have? If you worked for 4 years, what else do you have? What age do you deliver? And with differentiation comes innovation. Now, when I say innovation, you're probably saying, whoa, we are talking about personal branding here. What innovation are you guys talking about? Now, brands innovate, that's why they take the lead in their market. If you're going to build our personal brand, we need to innovate. Now, this is an example of a company that has built a very powerful brand in the market. I still get amazed when Apple is launching new devices. Guys queue for, you know, night to get a chance to be the first to get hold of it. They're willing to pay whatever price. And Apple has had 12 years of big-time innovations, out of which 7 very, very successful brands came. The most popular one right now is probably iPod. But iPod, you know, is one in a series of innovations that convinced the market that Apple is pretty good as a company to, you know, to buy products from. The story, however, doesn't end there. So if you're wondering that, can I do it the way Apple did it? If you're wondering, is it fail-proof? I'll say it's not, because even Apple failed. Now, some of the apples, as the next slide shows, were rotten. But before then, just go back a little bit. Their innovation was driven by projects. One project at a time, one innovation at a time, they built their brand. Next. Some of the innovations did not work. A whooping 12 of them did not work. But it did not stop Apple from being the strong brand that it is today. So as you think of personal branding, I like to, you know, throw out of caution. Sometimes you may fail, but it doesn't mean that you should not soldier on. So building a personal brand, why should we build our personal brand? Why should we bother? I think we bother because we need to succeed. And not only succeed, succeed much faster. So if you are, you know, 35 years old and you're still applying for internship jobs, something's wrong. You need to start building the brand so that you start, you know, competing with your peers. But I'm going to ask one question. What's the secret to personal success? This I need to get an answer for. What's the secret to personal success? 2 choices. Number 1, fix your weaknesses. Number 2, build on strengths. Which one will you go for? I need a volunteer. Shall I choose one? Fix your weaknesses or build your strengths? Which one? Which one will deliver success? I can't hear you.
Fix weaknesses.
Fix weaknesses. Build your strength. Could you turn the light over there so I just see by a show of hands? Fix weaknesses?
No, I'd fix weaknesses.
Fix weaknesses?
Fix weaknesses.
How many are for fix weaknesses? All right, how many are for build your strength? All right, there seems to be a balance. All right. Let's see what happened in the US, in the UK, in Japan, in China, Canada. Well, Uganda, we don't have statistics yet. But generally, people tend to think that for you to succeed, you need to fix your weaknesses. Unfortunately, this is not true. Why? The next slide will show us. Because for you to build a brand, you've got to start from the core. For you to build a brand, you've got to bring out what God put inside there. You cannot be strong in an area that God never gave you talent on. And so we say, next slide. You can only get out what God put in. You can never put in what God did not put in. If you are like me, heavy bones, tall, probably lanky, there are certain things you're going to try to do, my friend, and you'll never do it. You try with lifting, you can only do so much. Try running, you can only do so much. Now, if you say, I'm weak in weightlifting, let me keep trying, you might never get there. But everyone has strength. And so the first step in brand building is for us to discover the brand. What brand are you? What do you have inside there that's very unique to yourself that can be built on? Now, unfortunately, the education system does not allow us to discover ourselves. Unfortunately, parenting does not allow us to discover ourselves. And I'll give you a case in point. You know, we have two boys. And often we ask them this question, what do you like to be when you grow up? One says, I like to be a doctor, and we smile. Yeah, that's good. And you're too fast for me. Sometimes they say, I like to be a pilot. I say, Now, the other day, one of them said, you know, because he was telling me, I like to drive. Can I drive? I said, no, you need to get your driving permit first. So where do I get my driving permit from? Say, you know, you need to grow up, become 18, go to driving school, get your driving permit. Oh, okay. So next time we are in this conversation, so what do you like to do when you grow up? He said, you know what? I like to be a taxi driver. I looked at him and said, okay. Then he changed quickly. I like to be a doctor. And so, you know, we are nurtured to aspire for certain things. We work our backs off trying to reach for prestige that comes with certain roles. But is it what we are good at? So discover your brand, then build it. There are certain myths that we'll have to bust. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still learning the Ugandan market. Any of you who've learned it, please share. I don't think I'll ever fully understand it, and neither do I think any of you will fully understand it, because it's a dynamic market. But there's this general myth that you should never put all your eggs in one basket. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? So you are working here as an accountant, you're running a taxi business there, there's something to be imported from Japan, you are there. Somebody's looking for a house. Oh, I know somebody. Let me call you back. You are a broker. And so you are all over the place. I think it's a myth. Those buckets sometimes become too many. You can't keep a watch on them. And so we need to bust this myth. And I bust it by saying there's no safety in this app. There are only opportunities. So if you want to play safe, sometimes you miss out on the opportunities. The second myth, I think we've discussed this. You will get better if you can fix your weaknesses. Go back a little bit. No, I think you'll get better. You'll become best at what you do if you focus on your strengths. The third myth, you should try and help your teammates as much as possible. I think the truth is, You should volunteer your greatest strengths to the team as much as possible, because that gives you an opportunity to develop your strengths. Next. So how do you determine what you are good at and what you are not good at? Now, to know your strengths, there's a model. Call it sign. See the sign or seek the sign, and this will be an indication of your appetite. And your appetite for success can only come from within. Now, it doesn't matter how lavish a meal is. If you don't have an appetite, you will not enjoy the meal. And so, appetite comes from four elements. Number one is success. Whatever you succeed in, you like doing, don't you? Number two is instinct. If you feel like you're likely to succeed, you instinctively want to volunteer for it. Number three is growth. When you're doing it, you feel like growing. There are certain jobs you'll do and you could sit in the office for, 20 hours and you're still going on. You don't feel like your back is getting broken. Number three is need. You feel this hunger to keep doing it. And so when somebody is approaching you from whatever it is that is your strength, you feel like you need to go back. You know, those of us who are married, when Madame calls, you feel like, what do I tell her now? Sorry, my wife is here. And so these four elements contribute to your appetite. And your appetite leads to practice. The more you practice, you build capabilities. The more you build capabilities, the more you like it. And so it keeps on, strengthening and reinforcing itself. Next. However, for this reason, you find these five gentlemen doing what they do. And a perfect example, the other day, Bebe Cool was hurt. And he declares that come rain or shine, I'm going to perform at Chameleon's event. It's an inborn thing. He has an appetite for the shows. So he's hoping he'll never be down for too long to miss that event. Eminem, what happened to him? Since when did white people sing the kind of songs he sings? But just think for one moment, the tribulations he had to go through to be allowed to enter into that community of singers, and how many barriers he had to overcome, rejection amongst his peers, etc., to be able to get it, largely driven by the appetite he had for that role. Next. And so, guys, sometimes you may have the appetite, but you don't have the ability. Now, when this happens, let's agree, Zakobi. You may fill the bathroom with songs, but you don't have the ability to sing. It's a hobby. You may go to the golf course and work it, but you'll never become a tiger. It's a hobby. You may play soccer. At fireworks nowadays, we play every week. Play and play and play, but you can never turn into, Rooney. It's a hobby. So let's accept it. And let's separate the hobbies from things that are sellable competencies that we can deliver to the market. Next. And so I take you through five drivers of personal brand building. Starting with number one, value. Value comes from mastery. When you have a mastery of a competence, you are able to sell it. When you are the best accountant and you can figure out how to, evade URA, or not really evade, that's the wrong word, but how to work with them, people love you for that. When you are the best lawyer and you can, get this criminal out of his trouble, you have a mastery for that, people love you for it. When you are a good doctor and a great surgeon, and you can literally bring somebody back to life, you have a mastery, and that's something that people will, beat the line coming for. And so the question I ask, do you have a product? Now, if your product line is growing, now often we'll wonder, why should I have a product? What am I selling? Now, I don't mean that you should be setting up a business on the side and say, I got a product. Now, you're working for your employer or you are actually a businessman. What are you selling to the department? Are you selling great reports? Are you selling great presentations? Are you selling... What are you selling to the department and what are they paying for? Now, if you don't know what you're selling, you cannot grow it. If you know it, you can grow it and you can, it can command a lot more in the market. Next. Emotions. You need to be a trust mark. You've had this feeling sometimes when you hear so-and-so is going to do it, you're like, oh my God. All right? Could we find someone else? That means you're not trusted. Now, trust comes from this, from two things. One, competence. Two, character. Competence is when you say you're going to do it, you have the ability to do it. Character is when you say you are going to be there, you will be there. If you don't have character, people will not trust you even if you are able to do it. If you have character and you are always there on time, but the work is not looking good, they will not trust you that you are able to do it. Now, how can you build both? You are a package. And this started a long time ago, even when you are kids. And sometimes our boys come back home and they say, you know, mommy, I don't feel like wearing the sweater. Why? Because he likes the shirt inside. And he likes to present his package with the shirt inside.
So you are a package. And you've been a package for a very long time. Just that you did not define it for us, we define it for you. You are your plans. Choose them wisely. You know, in our business advertising, the often question you get asked, who are your clients, by the way? And then you have to now look around and say, okay, which are the important ones? Because that will determine who wants to be your client.
And your client here does not mean as a business. You are the people who you hang out with. If you are caught at, what are the joints? At Silk, and you're in the company of so-and-so, you are defined according to what people perceive that individual. And so that's your client. So you've got to choose your clients wisely. Identity is everything. You know. There are two things that often get confused. Identity and image. Identity is what you want people to know you for. Image is what they actually know you for. So you need to constantly try and bridge the gap. Because if image goes adrift from the identity you want to reflect, they may not be able to pay the price. Next. You need to transcend your corporation. You need to transcend the company you work for, the organization you work for, if you want to build your brand. Find a way of volunteering into, you know, various activities. Literally, you need to surround yourself with people who are strong, people who are competent. So much so that next time you've been promoted or hired anew, those of us who are in marketing, to the position of head of sales and marketing, you know a few people out there who you can bring in to strengthen the team. But if you are inwardly focused, probably the best place you're going to go is where you're working. You need to grow your network in depth and breadth. Now, there are various tools to do that. Facebook, Twitter, and the others. But 360 degree, I think, beats them all. Don't you think so? Because at least you can know who this guy really is. You know, everyone. Shall we? You're your PR agency. Basically, as I said, you're a package. You are a performance art. Now, I'm going to come back to the idea of building brands project by project. You're judged by how you performed in that particular project. Now, that gentleman over there, Larry King, you know, he's rarely in any other outfit other than that. Is it because he doesn't like wearing suits? Is it because he doesn't feel like relaxing sometimes and wearing a t-shirt? I remember when he last did something like that, everybody was like, wow, he's looking different. But he's maintained his identity consistently over the years. Next. You need to be known for something people care about. You know, Some guys are very well known in Uganda, I must say. And at each party, you'll always find them being captured. Is that what they want to be known for? Now, is that what you like to be known for? Would you like to be known for the guy who is a party animal? And that's not bad. You can get known for that. But do people care for that? Because if they do, then you can be able to convert it into value. You need to embrace the mic. From time to time, if you're going to transcend your current strength as a brand, you need to be able to present. You need to be able to talk in public. Push your imagery out there. But before you open your mouth about something you care about, something you have passion for, and something you are credible in. So self-presentation is a full-time job. Yes? Now, differentiation is a tricky one. How different are you, and how different are you becoming? There's sort of 5 items on the screen. We have, you know, Range Rover Sport. I promise you, it's not the one that came from Zen. We have BlackBerry. We have 10 books of your, on your favorite subject. We have an MBA degree from Harvard. Now, given a choice, and we have these choices all the time, most of us, including me, will probably go for the Range Rover Sport. Isn't that so? True? We'll go for the Range Rover Sport. Am I lying? All right. Now, few would go for Harvard, another how many years? Boring. That makes sense. All right. But often to differentiate ourselves, we need to skew our interest towards things that deliver lasting benefit, as opposed to things that deliver instant gratification. This gentleman was in the papers today. And I think he was working very hard at differentiation. Now, differentiation is costly. So when you are going to spend your money in differentiating, the question is it relevant? Is it relevant to your target audience? Because if it's relevant, then your brand is going to have more power and influence over many. I'm not saying this one is not relevant. I'm just saying these are questions worth asking before you spend on differentiation. Shall we? Yes. I say no more. We need to renew ourselves. Sharpen the soul, in other words. We need to go out there and meet real people. You know, occasionally, for those of you who, don't know me so well, please don't be surprised to find me in a winner market. Not because I'm called a winner, but because I learn a lot when I go there. Yeah. Occasionally, don't be surprised to find me in a restaurant working as a waiter. I did that, and I learned a lot about what waiters go through. And I do realize that there's so many people in this market to whom we seek to sell our brands as companies that go through what they go through. There can be no greater understanding of that market than leaving it, at least for one moment. I'm not saying you work as a waiter, but try to interact with ordinary people. It gets you thinking. And for this to work, you need to develop a renewal plan. So, what is it that you've learned in the last 3 months? Can you say what it is that you've learned in the last 3 months? Something concrete, something that improves your competency. And then what it is that you're planning to learn in the next 3 months. Now, this must be turned into action for it to work. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but it's not easy. Brand building, personal brand building cannot be as easy as just deciding, I need to change my wardrobe. That's what I did not want to talk about. And so far, I've tried to avoid it. It's not as simple as deciding, I need to buy a new car, and now you're a new brand. People see through that. And so try to look for things that will deliver the big steps. Number one, discover your brand, believe me, it's not easy. That's why I'm listing it here. You need to take time, sit, and decide who or what do you want to be. Build your brand project by project. 3, turn simple tasks into projects. And finally, develop a brand plan. Let me talk a bit about developing your brand plan. To develop your brand plan, you need to start with an acute knowledge of your current reality. What's your current situation? And then an acute understanding of where you want to go. And then identify points of leverage. Number one, my product. What do I sell to my department? What do I sell to my customers? Number two, my, you know, renewal. How do I want to improve what I sell? Number three, my networks. How do I want to grow my network? Number four, my image. Image is important. It may not be everything, but it's absolutely important. Now, with that, you're able to focus on, for example, I've given the example of an accountant who wants to be a corporate executive, you know, a sector leader, but cannot present. He can do the financial reports, but when it comes to presenting to the board, he'll rather say, you know, boss, why don't you do it? Now, to reach that objective, certain specific skills will need to be identified, and certain specific competencies will need to be developed. And this shall be done project by project, shall we? You need to think big. Big ideas, not necessarily big cars. You know, sometimes guys have huge cars, but they don't have big ideas to go with them. And so we end up paying loans, struggling. We end up losing our integrity because we have to start taking shortcuts. Now, I bring this to a close by sharing with you some of the personal brands that have been successful. And yes, believe me, I do think he's one of them. This is another successful personal brand. Sorry, can you go back to the first one? Can you guys clap? Thank you. Now, that lady is known to many Ugandans. Her story is incredible. Born to teenage parents out of wedlock, abused during childhood, severely molested, including rape. However, earlier on, a brand was discovered. And, you know, reflecting back, she would say that I heard Granny say that I'm gifted. She didn't understand what gifted means, but she felt that, you know, it's something special, must be something special. Now, they spotted the signs. She started reciting points at the age of 3 years. She started reading at the age of 4. Now, in her little township, they used to call her the little speaker. Now, you see talent coming up. Practice. Later, she lived with her dad. You know, their parents were separated. Who made her read a book each week. Now, her capability started coming up. She continued reading and started doing public speaking and drama in high school. Then she started building her brand project by project. The first project, she contested for school president and won. The second project, she attended the president's youth conference and met the head of state. The third project, she got to visit a radio studio and took a keen interest in broadcasting. The fourth project, she entered public speaking conference and won a university scholarship, which gave her an otherwise totally inaccessible degree in speech communication and performing art. The fifth project, she took a radio job while at university. The sixth project, and I paused there, David, she entered a beauty contest, Miss Black Tennessee, and won. One thing you do realize that these things are happening, and each one of them is very deliberate. You can imagine the decision to enter a beauty contest. you know, you got to debate a little bit. Am I good enough or not? Should I not? But then you decide to go for it. The decision to run for, you know, elective position in school, again, is a very deliberate project. And she's going through them one by one after the other. Next. The seventh project, she started a TV career in Baltimore. Eighth project, started hosting her own show called AM Chicago. Ninth project, she starred in a Spielberg movie. And the 10th project was in 1986 when she started her syndicate show. And this is the Oprah Winfrey. And so what we see is something that started some long time ago. And it was built project by project. And so I ask, what project have you done recently? And how keen were you to use the project to propel your career, to propel your brand, to propel whatever it is you do to the next level? Thank you very much.